Today we launch a series called Hidden Kitchens, stories of street corner cooking, legendary meals, and kitchen traditions. It's a collaboration among independent producers Davia Nelson, Nikki Silva, and Jay Allison.
Thanks for calling the Hidden Kitchens Project. The Kitchen Sisters and I are gathering stories for a new...
We opened a phone line asking listeners to call in with their stories, and hundreds have. Every Friday this fall, we'll follow your leads and venture into hidden kitchens across the country. Jay Allison, the curator of this quest, is listening to your stories and has this first taste.
To listen to your messages, push 3. You have 62 new messages.
Hello, my name is Ellen Burkett Morris. I was calling to tell you all about a Kentucky tradition, burgoo, which is sort of a frontier stew that uses vegetables and meat.
Your phone calls have poured in, filling dozens of tapes with hundreds of messages. You're telling us about an astonishing array of hidden kitchens, about cooking and heritage from every region of the country, underground kitchens at nuclear test sites in Nevada, a shipyard in Michigan where they roast chicken in the welding rod ovens, or the all-night cooking ritual of Kentucky burgoo.
They know when they're going to have a particularly good batch of burgoo when the cooking crew hears a plop in the middle of the night, and legend has it that there's a nest of black snakes in the trees above the kettles, and from time to time one of the snakes will climb out onto a limb to get a whiff of the stew and actually fall in.
Food triggers memory. You speak about food as a personal inheritance and connection to vanished generations, the secret ingredient of family. This is a call from Cornelia Lambert.
I'm calling about my grandmother's kitchen. She is an 84-year-old woman living in Mount Airy, North Carolina, and she builds community through food, not just the family community, which she's always feeding us, et cetera, but about 2 years ago, she started inviting people to dinner and charging them $10 a plate and all of the money she would give to Habitat for Humanity. And people turned their pockets inside out for some of Ruby's food.
You tell us about hidden efforts to save wasted food, or meals traded or offered in trust, an honor system based on pies. Some of your hidden kitchens are communal, some solitary, from the brutish pleasure of a ribeye fried with a quartered potato in the lonely kitchen of a recently divorced man, to the sober commitment behind little community kitchens that feed thousands of homeless people every day.
Hello, my name is Keith McHenry, and we cook free food that we hand out on the streets. Yet, in many parts of the United States, in particular San Francisco, we've been arrested over 1,000 times for serving free food.
We've heard about kitchens reviving traditions, bringing back old recipes for saguaro cactus on a reservation in Arizona, or about men cooking in the dark over fire pits in the far north and the deep south. And you speak about the private, shared cooking that happens when babies are born and when people die. This is Emma Clark.
I grew up in Gainesville, Florida, and when my father died, I was 18, and my family got a pounding. A pounding happens when someone dies or a new minister moves into town or someone gets married or has a baby, and people from the community come by and give a pound of sugar, a pound of flour, a pound of butter, whatever they have. The pounding gave us a sense of really being at home.
Hi, I'm Delia Martinez. I am known to make good flour tortillas. I have a song that about tortillas that I would like to share with you. This is how it goes. There's no tortillas, there's only bread. There's no tortillas.
Many of your calls are laments, not just for what we have left behind, but for what we will leave behind if we're not careful. People seem nostalgic even for the present.
Bologna sandwiches for funeral dinners.
Marilyn Fosberg.
This is food tradition that is dying out. The little town of Brenton, Michigan is a ghost town now. But when my father owned a store there, he always donated ring bologna to the women that made the sandwiches. And you ground up the bologna, added homemade pickle relish and salad dressing, not mayonnaise. You serve this on white bread with coffee and iced tea, and it's a tradition that is dying out here because the women are getting too old and the young women are not doing it. And they're delicious sandwiches.
Some of your stories are not of our kitchens today, but of strange and hidden kitchens gone by.
Hi, my name is Sandra Sherman, and I'd like to talk to you at some length about turtle feasts in the 18th century and how turtle feasts were used as a way for men who were otherwise very civilized to come together to celebrate blood sports in a Beowulfian manner.
One caller told us about a lost kitchen he's hoping to find again. John Miller was a soldier in Vietnam who received a pineapple upside-down cake by mistake and couldn't forward it on before it would spoil, so he and his friends ate it, and it was delicious, he said. He wrote the parents of the young soldier it was intended for.
Anyhow, I wrote to them and told them the situation and thanked them, and that I'd never got anything in the mail and all that kind of stuff. And in about 2 weeks, they sent me a tin of homemade chocolate chip cookies, and they were delicious. I kept their address for a long time, and I lost it, but they were from Connecticut. And if I still knew how to get in touch with them, I would. Bye.
If you happen to send sweets to a John Miller in Vietnam, we hope you will contact us. We'll put you in touch with him. Indeed, we hope you will call us if you feel you have anything important to add to our search for America's hidden kitchens. Your stories, taken together, are not so much about food as they are about people, about us. We look forward to sharing more of these stories in the months to come and to hearing more of yours. For NPR News, with the Kitchen Sisters, I'm Jay Allison.
To tell us about a hidden kitchen, call 202-408-0300. For recipes, photos, and more stories, visit npr.org. Production help for this series came from Vicki Merrick and Chelsea Merz of Atlantic Public Media.